Now today at the late service, we will be confirming, as I said a little bit ago, five of our young people, Jesse Armstrong, Aaron Dayton, McKenna Palacio, Tristan Gentry, and James Simonton. And it has been a fun class with those five, and they have kept me on my toes, even though they were mostly asleep every Sunday when they came. My job was to wake them up. But they are ready and prepared to make the step toward full membership in the church and to take on the mantle of Christ for the rest of their lives. Each one of them has been spoken to and asked that question, are you ready to do this, to sign up? And they have all said yes. Now, most of you here today were confirmed a long time ago. Maybe you don't even remember it. It was such a long time ago, and maybe those memories are just a little fuzzy. It might be that walking with Christ has become so much a part of your life that you don't really even think about it much anymore. It's just who you are. And I have to say, I sometimes find myself wondering what my walk with Christ would look like if I weren't called upon to write a sermon every week, or to be engaged in weddings and funerals and baptisms and communion on a regular basis, and to walk beside people who need a listening ear and who need to have God brought into those hard and difficult times that we all face. I wonder if I would be kind of lulled into taking my faith for granted, like it's something that will always be there when I need it and I can call on God if I get into a pinch. Bishop Will Willimon, he's retired now, but listen to what he said. He said, one of the dangers I have learned about being in church as often as I am is that it all starts to make sense. I speak of the Christian faith so casually and effortlessly that I begin to think, fine thing, this Christianity makes a lot of sense. And then I find myself believing all sorts of things in church that I wouldn't let anyone put over on me in the real world. Things that people choke on in everyday speech, but that they would swallow if it's in a sermon. I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced that. And I find myself seeing those differences between church and the world a lot more clearly maybe than I used to. And maybe we can get lulled into believing that that's what it's like when we've all been Christians as long as we have. You know from what I've told you, I became a Christian the day they put me in that little bassinet there in the church nursery. And I heard Jesus Loves Me probably before I heard any other song. I've been a Christian since birth. And we can start seeing the things of Christ as being normal. Things like turning the other cheek, or loving our neighbors as ourselves, or praying for our enemies. I mean, we all do that with great regularity, right? Right? Turning the other cheek, and praying for our enemies, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Well, here's the deal. Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross be emptied of its power. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How many of us take time to remember the power of the cross every single day? And how many of us remember the power of the cross when we're belittling someone or talking behind their backs or excluding them because they just don't really fit in with our group? How many of us shun or demean those who defy the cross and shake their fists at God or even deny God's very existence? Those of us who have been Christian all of our lives, sometimes Christianity can take on a either-or kind of look. We can be very Christian when we're at church or in Christian gatherings, but we can be very un-Christian when we encounter the conflict that comes from trying to live as people of the world and people of the cross. And so confirmation, we're getting back to that. I wasn't going to forget it. Confirmation is a time when we all are called to remember the power of the cross and the power of God. So today, I hope that we can all agree that confirmation is not just for the confirmands. It's for all of us. Can we agree on that? If not, I don't know, but I hope we can. So here's another part of that passage that we heard Carmen read to us today. God chose to save us not because we're smart or wise, but because we believe. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and he chose the powerless to shame the powerful. Well, that sounds like more foolishness to me. I don't know about y'all. Why would God choose to save people who aren't smart? I mean, really, when you think about that. And why would God choose to shame the wise and the powerful with the foolish and powerless? But look closely. That verse says that God chose the unwise and the powerless because they believe. That's the only requirement, to believe. Our salvation, our faith, is not tied to our abilities or our intelligence. Those things are tied to our belief in God and in the cross of Christ. It's who we are. And no, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. At least not in a human way, it doesn't. In fact, it flies in the face of reason. Am I right? An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You talk bad about God, that's it for you. That's how we reason. But the power of the cross helps us get over that kind of reasoning. It is completely unreasonable to believe that God would send his son to die a shameful death on a cross, to be publicly humiliated and scorned and beaten, and that somehow that act could save the entire world. It really doesn't make sense. Confirmation is for all of us to remind us of who we are, what we believe, and how God can take the unwise and even ridiculous people, those who believe, and work miracles through them. My grandmother, who died just shy of her 95th birthday, used to sit outside under a live oak tree on an aluminum glider and sing to me and recite poetry. She was one of those people who spoke and sang to me about the love of Jesus Christ. To my knowledge, she never sang a solo in church. She never preached a sermon in church or anywhere else for that matter. She wasn't a big public speaker at all. She used to try to tell jokes, and she'd start telling the joke, and at the end she'd go, "I forgot the punchline." She was not what you'd call real fast on her feet in that way. But here's what she did. She talked to people one at a time. She accepted people with an almost childlike innocence, winning them over with her sweet smile, and this was important, her way of making them believe that she thought they were as good and faithful as she was. I never heard her say an unkind word about anyone, and I never heard her raise her voice to anyone, and believe me, she had plenty of reason to do it. I know she loved Jesus, and she made sure that I knew who Jesus was and how Jesus desired for his faithful believers to live. Now, besides being a genuinely sweet and lively woman, she was an artist with a needle and thread. She made so many needle points and counted cross-stitch pictures. She crocheted I don't know how many afghans. We lost count of that. There were so many. And it used to drive my grandfather crazy to see her doing her and he, because he thought that was just a big waste of time and she should be doing something else. And so she got to where she would get a flashlight and get in the closet to work on her needle and thread art. Never raised her voice, never said an unkind word, just found a different way. And one of the things, she made me so many things, but one of the things she made sits in my office. I meant to bring it with me. Too bad it's on the wall. Now you have to come and see it in my office. But it's a counted cross stitch. It hangs kind of above my computer so I can always see it. And it says this: what I am plus God's help equals enough. Now, I'm not big on equations. Math was my least favorite or successful subject. But that's an equation that I could understand. What I am plus God's help equals enough. And like confirmation, it is a reminder to me, a reminder that I am a child of God, a reminder that I am a believer in every sense of the word, and a reminder that the power of God is used to shame the wise and the powerful, and a reminder that my abilities, which are judged by the world and sorely lacking in worldly eyes from time to time, are more than enough for my Lord and my Savior. God works through us, no matter who we are, not to use our abilities, but to show the world that whoever we are more than enough when we believe in Christ as Savior. It's also a reminder that it's really not up to us to effect change in others. That's God's job. Thanks be to God. Our job is to be a reflection of the love and the grace of God and to allow Him to work through us to show His power. The fact is, none of us, not one of us, is good enough or smart enough or holy enough or successful enough to do it by ourselves. Do you ever wonder what you would do if you were threatened because of your belief in Jesus Christ? We're not really challenged too much on that in this country, are we? There are people who face that struggle every single day. And they're not just made fun of or prevented from bringing their Bibles to work or prevented from posting Christian messages in public places. They are literally being killed for Christ. They are dying every day. And yet, this doesn't make sense. In those countries where people are literally dying because of their belief in Christ, Christianity is growing exponentially. And maybe it's because they see that the only hope that can get us past the violence and brokenness of this world is in Jesus Christ. That the idea of grace and mercy takes precedence over our own human reasoning and our black and white way of looking at things. And somehow, in this country at least, we have sort of tried to legislate our Christian values and belief through lawsuits and victimization and inclusion of any and all behavior without regard for Scripture. Confirmation is a reminder to all of us of who we are. It reminds us that we're children of God. We are not powerless, and we are set apart, not because we're smart or clever, not because we are even empathetic or sympathetic, but why? Because we believe. Those who believe are called to know what they believe and then to put it into practice. We do this not for our own gain, but to be models of Christ's love for others. Relying on the power of God is enough. Shaking our heads in disgust and giving up are surefire ways to lessen the power of the cross in a world that needs the cross more than ever. It really is up to us as believers to live and model that kind of life. Now, you remember where we started this passage? I kind of pushed us up to verse 17. You know I do that. I'm a real believer in read what's up there and read what's after. And so in verse 17, Paul says, I was called not to baptize, although that was part of what he did. He said, I was sent by God to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross be emptied of its power. We can't explain the cross because it sounds really foolish when you get right down to it. But this is what we can explain. We can explain why we follow Jesus Christ. We really can't explain the ways of God. We can't explain the cross. We can't explain a lot of stuff. But we can explain why we follow Jesus. We can say that he has the power to walk with us through hardship, that he has the power to save us from the burden of sin, that he has the power to forgive us for anything and everything every time we ask. It might not make sense to everyone who hears the message, but it will make sense to some. And that's enough. And those who hear the message and are ready to receive it will be hungry for more. It always works that way. Confirmation is a sign that God has placed his hand on those who proclaim Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, our five young people who will be up here at 10:50 are prepared to do that today. Oh, they're not up there right now. And I probably called out some names of kids that y'all don't even know. You might have even heard some last names and said, who the heck is that? Those people don't come from Mason. We've never had names like that here, but we do. And it is up to you, not up to them, up to you to seek them out, to look at those names and say, where can I find this kid? And then at some point, somehow to lay hands on them, even if it is just to put your hands on their shoulders and say, you are a child of God. That is enough. Love God, love each other, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your job as those who are believers and have been set apart to proclaim the cross and the power of God. Don't delay. Do it the minute you can. And you don't know them yet, but every one of them is now going to be a part of your family. So seek them out. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.